from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and following. Paul said, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of His glory, He may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now to Him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Ann Voskamp is an author that describes herself in this way. You'll find written on the back of some of her book jackets, "I'm the wife of one fine man, down-to-earth farmer, a book-reading mama to a posse of seven, and the author of the New York Times bestseller, 1,000 Gifts, A Day to Live Fully Right Where You Are." That book has sold more than 1 million copies and has been translated into 18 languages. Voskamp has been named by Christianity Today as one of 50 women most shaping culture and the church today. Recently, I saw an opinion article by Voskamp where she titled this writing these words, three words, that's what really caught my attention. Three words that can stop stealing your joy instead of staying stuck in comparing and competing. Voskamp goes on to say that the more we let ourselves compete and compare, the more we forget our own calling. In other words, if we get wrapped up in the competition of this world, as so often we do, we fail to focus on our mission, what God has gifted us with, uniquely set apart from the world around us, to serve the world to His glory. She goes on to say in that article, "The more you push to get out in front of others, the more you fall behind in being the best you can be." You know, so often I wrestle and struggle with the challenge of competition in our culture. We can't get away from it, it seems. Whether it be in athletics, in the business world, in the classroom, heaven forbid, maybe even in the churches. We always seem to have the numbers of competition before us. And if we're not careful, I don't know about you all, when I'm not careful, I slide away from competition in a healthy way to a sinful passion of coveting what the other person has. When it gets down to it, I think that's when I struggle in my hunger, in my anger even, at competition. When I become consumed with my opponent instead of, in the words of Voskamp, being the best person I can be. It's easy for us to get wrapped up in that. And if we're not cautious, we're really embracing the 10th commandment that God says us to be voiding of, and that's coveting what the other person has. Voskamp goes on in that article, and she tells about a little girl who struggled with her young sister's birthday every year. She just couldn't stand it. To know that her little sister was going to be getting all these gifts while she was getting nothing. Now maybe we can relate to that. We go to birthday parties today, our young people do, and it seems that even the ones who go get gifts now. Did you know that? They have something now they call party favors. You give them a gift for coming to your party so no one's left out. Wow. We are a sick lot, aren't we? We need to have our needs, it seems, constantly fulfilled. We can get wrapped up in coveting, in resenting what those around us get. At least I struggle with that at my worst at times. I hope you're in this struggle with me. As Voskamp reminisced upon this little girl, she said, "The child and her mother taught me a lesson that I'll take with me throughout my life and inspired the writing of this article, three words that can change your life, that can help you maintain the joy of your relationship with others." Now, next week, I'll tell you what those three words are. No, I'm kidding. I'll tell you now. Voskamp said the little girl had a little scribbled piece of paper in her pocket. And she said, "When I get worrying about the birthday party, and as I'm at the party and I see my sister opening all these big gifts and getting the best piece of cake and getting to sit in the good chair and have all the gifts brought to her, I pull out this little piece of paper and it has three words written on it. I get enough. I get enough gifts. I get enough cake. I get enough attention for those of us who crave those type things. I get enough." She said, "I find in that strength to get through and not be consumed with what the other's getting." You know, in our scripture that I shared a few minutes ago, we hear this writing from Paul where he speaks of, and I even titled our sermon today with a portion of that, where he said, God gives us exceeding abundantly more than what we can ask or think. You know, when I hear those words, I think of God giving us the big stuff, right? The deepest prayers where our heart's desires, our wants are at the forefront. It seems to be that Paul is giving us a blank check to get what we want. God has the power, he says, to give us exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. But if we break down that statement by Paul, and we really hear it, perhaps for what he's saying, Paul says, we get from the God who is all powerful beyond what we can ask or what we can think. You know, I don't know about you, but usually what I'm going to be asking for and what I'm going to be thinking about are the things that I want. Doesn't that make sense? Isn't that what we focus on? Maybe it's in a baseball game. We focus on what I want is to hit the ball. What I want in the fall each Saturday is for my team to win. What I want is more money in my checking account. What I want are the prayers answered on my time and in the way I want. But Paul says here, God gives us beyond what we want, what we ask for, what we even imagine. I'm wondering if what Paul is saying here that our God is powerful and wise enough to not give us only what we want, but most importantly and always, give us what we need. You see, there's a difference. A difference that I don't like so much, my dear church friends. Because I've got to be honest. I find myself at faith crisis at times when I pray for the things that I want and, yes, the things that I think I need. So often, God in His all-knowing gives us only what we need and not what we want. Could it be that's at the heart of what Paul is saying today? When he says He gives us an exceeding abundance beyond what we want or ask and what we need. In the scripture there, what Paul does say clearly though is that God gives us His love. You know, I don't know about you all, but when I'm wrestling with unanswered prayers, when I'm struggling with brokenness or challenges and the questions of why I didn't get what I wanted, one thing that I can always lean on is that there is no wavering, dear church, in God's love for me. I've never questioned that. I've always felt that love. I felt His loving embrace. Maybe we as young people can relate to that, for the times in our life when our parents didn't give us exactly what we wanted. And as we grow along life journeys, we found that sometimes their no was the greatest gift they could give us. They were committed to give us what we needed, more than what we wanted. In this scripture, when Paul talks about God's love for us, he describes it this way, that God's love is the fullness of breadth, of length, of depth, and height. As Paul would say in another place in Scripture, nothing can separate us from God's love. Matthew Henry interpreted that scripture by Paul here by saying, he said, the breadth shows the extent of God's love to all nations, all ranks, all people. The length tells us that His love continues from everlasting to everlasting. The depth is the reminder, the saving of those who are sunk in the depths of their sin and misery. And the height, it raises us up to heavenly happiness and glory. Friends, that's the all-encompassing love of our God. That seems to be at the heart of what Paul is saying to us. When we receive what exceeds and what expands beyond what we can imagine or even ask for, He surely is talking about God's love for us. God's blessing for us as His children. You remember a few weeks ago we spoke of that word blessing, and what does it mean to be blessed by God? And the blessing of God, more than anything else, is not about material goods or attainment in this world, as it is God's blessing being His perfect and personal love for us. Friends, that's the gift that never wavers. That's the prayer that I'm convinced, when I'm not getting what I want, that God always answers, I love you. I give you what you need. In the gospel reading that we shared prior, our first reading today, Jesus, it seems, shares a lesson in I get enough. As He gathered His disciples there, and there were thousands of others seeking to be restored and have their prayers answered, to have healing for their loved ones and restoration from their own illnesses. Our scripture says that Jesus had them sit down, and we heard that familiar text where he turned to his disciples and said, "How are we going to feed this group of people?" They felt it was impossible. But Jesus didn't focus on how great the challenge was. He asked the disciples to focus with him on what they had. And when they gave what they had, the scripture tells us that it was enough. If we, my dear friends, will focus more fully upon what we've already received from God, the loaves that we do have, who knows how God can multiply our efforts for the world around us and the joy and love in our own hearts that we feel. It is enough to sustain us. It is enough to conquer whatever we're going through. God's love will not fail us, nor will it forsake us. But you know another thing I find interesting in Jesus multiplying the meal that day? That our scripture says this, that Jesus gave thanks and then he distributed the food. I like to believe this. I like to believe that Jesus, in his lesson in telling us, "I get enough," that Jesus at that point was not giving thanks for a multitude of bread, but instead he was giving thanks for the two loaves that were before him. You know, if we can begin in the spirit of the young child giving thanks for what we have, we will be less frustrated, less broken of the things we don't have. God said it was enough when Jesus gave thanks. And there's another time in Scripture where Paul said this. May we all, when we wrestle with the concern of not getting what we want, remember these words of Paul when he said, "God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. Will he not also give us everything else we need through his grace?" Friends, when I wrestle with not getting what I want, I strive with my heart's desire to remember if my God never gifted me with anything else but the gift of life and the gift of love through our Savior, then I can say with all sincerity, I get enough. Amen. Let's respond in faith today by